Thanks for giving me the opportunity to share what the Lord is doing in my life over the last year. So, it's not going to be too long because there's three people to speak and we still want time to prophesy. But I just highlighted 3 points that God has been doing in me, is doing, and by His grace will continue to do in me. And I'm sure it's doing these similar things in most of you guys' lives. And so if anything resounds with you, it would be great if you could, we could pray together afterwards. Because it's a work that the Lord is continuously wanting to refine in us, and it'll be cool to join in unity with these things. So the first point, and there's a couple of bullet points under in point number one, and the Lord the Lord Jesus is my righteousness. And I know that if you've been coming to this church for a few weeks, you would have heard that like a stuck record coming from the front here. And if you talk to Gaz, you know, and some of us, Caleb, you would hear that again and again and again. And that's it's truth that it's like sinking in to me and will continue to sink into me, I think, until I die. But it's something I have been pondering on for a while, and that when I'm quiet and I'm still, it's like a bed of feathers that you can lie in. That the Lord Jesus is my righteousness. You know, it's a resting out of knowing. Sorry, I can't read my handwriting here. Resting out of knowing and knowing that I'm righteous as a result of my trust in Him. And there are actually only two people, types of people in this world. And the first is the people who are righteous. And they're righteous because they have humility and they trust in Jesus and they recognize Jesus to be their Savior. And that is the other type of person who is proud and recognizes himself to be their Savior or doesn't recognize Jesus to be their Savior. And I think that's quite a profound thing because often the world thinks that, you know, you're a good person if you don't sin or do certain things, you'll probably get to heaven. But for us, or for me personally, when I interact with my non-believer friends, it's a profound point that it's not that they must stop sinning or do good things or go to church or whatever, as my one friend who hopefully come next week thinks that he must do to get saved, but. That is actually, it is just accepting Jesus as their Savior, and that makes him righteous in the eyes of God. So, communion with God is a free gift, and it's a gift to be enjoyed by us, and it's not, and it's actually, it's dishonoring to the giver if you don't receive that gift with thankfulness and with joy in your heart, and rather receive the gift and then try and earn it. But I think that's what I've had a mentality of most of my life, receiving God's good gift. You know, I haven't had a problem with knowing how good His gift is over my life, but it's the receiving and then earning it. So that thing has been cut away in my mind, will be cut away more. And it's a shift to earning it, to completely just overflowing with thanks. Because I think that's the only response we can have to his righteousness that he has put inside of us. So that was the first point. So the Lord Jesus is my righteousness. And one of the most profound truths that I've come to know and will still come to know is the best way to fight envy, jealousy, or ungratefulness, there's only one way to do that, is that's with a heart of gratitude. And 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16 says, if anyone is wondering what, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So that is God's will for us. If you want to know God's will for you, it is to be joyful always, pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. That's His will over your life. And, I mean, Caleb spoke on it last week, that thankfulness is such a weapon of warfare in our life, and gratitude is such a sword in our hand. And if you don't have that, you will turn to jealousy, envy, and ungratefulness, which will just trap you and enslave you. So if anything's resounding with someone here, you want to pray with me afterwards. I want that to be more established in my life, and I'm sure some of you want that as well. And then just the third point is knowing over the last 6 months to a year, I've asked God to really show me what's available in Jesus, and just the two verses that I've been going through my head of the endless riches in Christ Jesus available to every single believer is the Ephesians 1:3. Us who are in Christ has every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm from God in Jesus Christ. So we who are in Christ, who are believers, have every single spiritual blessing. You're blessed with everything. It's not that you grow in your blessing. You have it all over you right now. And the next is Ephesians 3:8. And this is Paul speaking how he's like completely unworthy to preach a gospel. But he says, though I am the very least, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace, favor, privilege was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ, wealth which no human being can have searched out. And I think Paul is like, he's caught what he is, what he has to go tell people. And he's caught that he's, even though he's like the person who's not able to call himself any, he's the lowest of all believers, but he's caught that he has to tell and show everyone the boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ. And I don't know, that's what I've asked God to show me, how to be an evangelist, is to show someone those things. And I think if you don't know that you have every blessing in the heavenly realm in God, in Christ Jesus, who is alive in us, then I don't know if you can really show someone that. So I'm on that process, journey of coming into revelation of that.
Right. Father, we pray that your kingdom is going to share with us tonight, that by your Spirit you'd empower him, be a great gift to all of us, and that you'd build your kingdom up and establish us in Jesus.
Es ist lecker up front hier. Es ist warm. Right, mine's not going to be quite as structured and as PowerPointy as Luke's. I don't really have points, but I've got a general story. I've got a general story in my heart that I'd love to share with you guys, because it's been a flipping exciting week for me. Because for this week, for the first time ever, if someone asked me, what's your favorite movie, I'd be able to give them a definite answer on what my favorite movie of all time is. Because you know how it is. You know, it's too difficult. You can't really compare apples. It's apples and bananas you're comparing. But in actual fact, I found out what my favorite movie is. My favorite movie is a movie called The Matrix. Matrix 1. When that movie came out, it blew my mind. Quite literally. I was in Senate 7. And I just remember sitting there with my friend who was like, this is incredible. There's nothing like they've ever made before. The story was so wild. People had to really concentrate deeply to work out what's going on. Everyone was talking about it for weeks off that. Like most of the guys, like the jock guys, I remember, they're really good, like water polo players and cricket players, were confused for months. Still don't know what that movie was about. I'm not being stereotypical. But so the reason was I realized I loved it so much is because The Matrix, to me, is, I realize it's the story of what we're living now, what I'm living. Because you're looking at me, you're looking at my flesh, but this isn't actually me. I'm actually a soul. So this is the body that I'm using around in this world. So I've I'm starting to realize the divorce between me being the soul and using this body in this life and using my surroundings to get through this life. But what happens is before we become a Christian, we're one like this. So you think of yourself as one. What happens is then you hear Jesus died for us. He we're completely righteous, but you don't understand that. So then you become baptized. And you receive Jesus, and you are born again, is what we call it. But people don't understand, like, I remember for years struggling with the, I'm born again, but yet I'm still doing all these ridiculous things. I don't want to do it, but I'm still doing these ridiculous things. Now, what happens in the Matrix is, the world has limitations. So everything is limited. So if I want to run from here to there, I'll run from here to there. But if I want to jump more than 2 meters, I can't do it because it's the limitation of gravity, you know, everything. There's millions of limitations. Kerr can rattle them off for me. If Kerr's baking a cake, there's limitations in what she needs to make a good cake. That's just how things are. But we enter into this new, in Jesus, we enter into this new realm, new world, where our limitations are no longer the same limitations. But because our mind isn't completely renewed to the new limitations, we're still living under old limitations. So when I, as I grow up, you more and more limitations you come to understand and get put on you. So my ability to play cricket was only a certain amount, and then I knew that I was only that good at cricket. And everything in my life, like my ability to speak publicly, was only that good, and I knew it was that good. So when I did oral, I knew I was about a 6 out of 10, and I would sort of perform in that bracket always. My understanding of trying to give you other examples. When I was growing up and I told lots of lies, I don't know if this example's going to work. I don't know, there's reason, there's brackets. There's brackets that we sort of operate in throughout our lives. And when we become born again and we get Jesus' life, we've shattered, all those limitations are shattered. So the amount of joy that I can receive now is boundless. But because of my understanding of my limitations, I'm not quite sure how to get to that boundlessness because I'm still under earthly limitations of my understanding. So this and I was thinking about how do I get from this limited bracket to this unlimited, what's been promised to me. And one way I've realized in one breakthrough I've had this week as well, was on Friday morning when we had prayer, we decided that, or Caleb heard, that there's this laughter yoga thing that they do in India. So this is like the...
Wait,
it's
brilliant what Josh
is
saying.
What?
Okay. Don't lose my train of thought.
Laughing yoga.
Yes, these things are harder. So anyway, these guys in India, they do this laughing yoga where they'll just laugh for an hour, however long the session is. So in the morning, it was very early, Friday morning, 6:30, and my limitation was, I'm very limited in many, many ways. My joy was very limited because it was early and I'm still waking up and I'm so careless, we're going to just laugh in yoga. So he just starts laughing. And literally, we laughed, because we started laughing because of him, and we just laughed. And the laughter increased in stages and it carried on, like this more and more just came up. And I realized as you sort of, like, it's a proactive thing. You have to almost step into that thing. Okay, I'm just going to do it now. And it just increased in stages. So the higher level of thinking in repentance that we have to return to is, it's almost like this. It's a new bracket you enter into of limitation. And eventually I think we get to this place where this unlimited understanding, or this understanding of how unlimited it is, how unlimited God's goodness is, God's joy and God's peace. It's just unlimited, but we're just operating in another little bracket. The other thing I wanted to say was, so one way I also realized how to break a limitation with someone is encouragement. So that's why community is so important, because when you encourage someone, you break their limitation of their understanding of themselves.
Amen.
So if you believe you're only so good at making lasagna, and I come in and I say, yes, this lasagna is one of the best I've ever had, if not the best, you're entering into a new understanding of how like talented you are, and then you move on to the next, you move on to lemon meringue, you know? So that's why it's just so beautiful being in the community that is able to be free from sort of trying to build yourself up and rather just building other people up, encouraging other people, because we're constantly breaking limitations of ourselves. So I encourage us to keep encouraging each other. And I just, my prayer for tonight is that we can break more limitations and enter new levels of thinking of how much freedom we have and how boundless God's goodness is over us.
I don't even know what I'm going to say now, but it's speaking to this thing.
Jenny, always good.
Thanks, guys. It's community.
It's true.
I just asked Luke now what I should talk about because you said both are marshmallows sweet.
Which one's bigger?
Yeah, which marshmallow is bigger? No, I actually then felt that the one marshmallow was cooking on the fire and the other one needs a little bit more time to be melted on the fire. So I'm gonna speak about what I feel God's shown me over the last literally 2 or 3 weeks. Whereas the other thing that I'd like to share with you in hopefully soon has been developing over months and months. But I'd like to prepare a little bit more for that. Where's this one? I don't know. Let's see what happens. But I had lunch with Jess on Friday, so Jess, you've heard this now. But it really helped me to put into words or to articulate what God, I think, is reminding me of, and hopefully can remind some of you of too. For those of you who don't know me and Luke, I think it's only Fiona, but we lived in Sweden for 2 years, and we've just come back from a holiday there now for 10 days, which was amazing, and I'm very, very grateful for the time away. Being away is something so invaluable for each and every one of us, even if you literally just go away for the afternoon out of where you are at. And just seek God, or don't even seek Him, He'll find you there because you're in a new space. And so I feel so blessed that we got to be in a new space for 3 weeks, Greece for 10 days and then Sweden for 10 days. And Greece was just an incredible holiday, and Sweden was an emotional roller coaster for me. I think because I've lived there, so it's like journeying so far away and finding a whole nother life of yours. It's very strange and very confronting, actually, because you remember who you were there, and there's some parts of you that are better there that you lose as soon as you come home again. And then there are other parts of you that you can't even remember that you used to be like that. And so our first stop in Sweden was to Malmö, which is the city that we lived in. And we stayed there with Pete and Ellen, who lived here with all of us a year ago, which was amazing to be with them, and they really miss all of you. And we had a really nice time catching up. But I think what was so frightening for me was that I loved being back there. Like, I loved it. Like, those of you who know me, Kurt especially, I am not a morning person, like not at all. And I was up every morning at like 6 o'clock, so excited for my day, like on my bicycle. Like, there was something inside me that was like absolutely burning to be alive. And for 3 days, I felt like that, just on this absolute high of being back in Sweden. And it was Sweden in summer, which is absolutely ideal and only happens like for 2 weeks of the whole year. But for those days, we were a part of it. And so it was so amazing. And I felt so confused because I felt like, I love this place. I'd like to live here again. Like, where did that come from, you know? And then we moved on to stay with Greg and Chris, who've just left all of us. And we stayed with them for 3 days, and they come from like heaven on earth. I mean, their back garden is this amazing forest where you pick wild berries and wild flowers, and it's so peaceful and tranquil and serene. And I got there and I was like, I can't believe they lived in Woodstock with us. They left the space for Woodstock, you know, just like, it was quite an eye-opener, because I know I've been to Sweden, but I just never pictured exactly what they left behind to come here. And we were walking in the forest one evening, because it stays light till about 11 at night, and I was picking these flowers, and I was absolutely furious with God. I felt like, I felt so angry that, well, for many reasons, it feels quite complicated, but the one reason is that some people in the world live like this. Like, it's amazing. And the other was that I just realized in that moment that I could never be happier. Like, this is not fulfilling. And that was so strange, because I was in, like, as I'm saying, this exhilarated state of being where everything felt so safe and so lovely and so pleasing to the senses, and I felt so inspired. And at the same time, I was absolutely mad with God, because I just knew so deep in my absolute being that I can be here for 10 days, but that's my limit. Like, that's really my limit. And it was so cool, because I felt these stages as we moved. And Sweden was quite a fast adventure, for 3 days in Malmö, and then 3 days in Jönköping, and then 2 days in Gothenburg. And so I left Jönköping in a way, like in a really strange place, but in a better place, because I realized that I will be going home. Like, I can't stay here. But Gothenburg was so amazing for me because there we spent time with some other friends and their children, and again, just outdoors a lot. And there we were sitting in the park the one day, and their parks are really beautiful. Like, each neighborhood has their own park, and it's doesn't have cement on the floor or glass, and it's quite ergonomical. Like, everything's just really fun to play on, even as an adult. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I got this picture of what parks could look like in Woodstock if we got a sponsorship from this company, or if we learned how to build parks ourselves or something. And like, my brain just started like running like wildfire on all these things that we could do in Woodstock. And in Malmö, this place I went to every day was the library, because it's this incredible glass, maybe 5-story building of just wall-to-floor glass that all the trees kind of are around this library. And so you feel like you're sitting in this glass forest, and it's absolutely incredible. And I mean, everyone goes to the library. It's like the place you go in Malmö. It's beautiful. And I had a picture of that Malmö library again, and I imagine a library in Woodstock where people could learn and be safe and just hang out. I mean, in the Malmö library, there's some chairs that are like those lounging chairs, and you walk past and people are drinking their cafe lattes, like sitting reading their books, and like, it's so beautiful. And that was my first thought. It was like, wow, we could do all of this in Woodstock. And then immediately I had all these voices saying, oh my word, you could never, like, the books would be ruined, there'd be pages missing, they'd have greasy oil marks all over the desks. Like, I just had all these things saying, like, no, 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 no. And that was when I realized this that I'm explaining to you, this process that I've been through, and that I think all of us are in, is that we are actually fighting for our hopes and our dreams all the time, because they aren't possible. Like, nothing's possible unless Jesus is involved. And sometimes those voices are going to be very, very loud, and sometimes those voices are non-existent, but your dreams are the same, and your dreams are as important, and your dreams generally are not your dreams. And every thought I had while we were there in that park, I realized was not my thought, because I'm not actually that passionate about parks, to be honest, but I'm passionate about beautiful things, and public spaces get me so excited. And so why not? You know, why not have those dreams, and why not hope for those things, and why not ask God for those things? Mm-hmm. And I think what I'd like to really leave you with is that, just as I feel I'm ruined now, because I will never be satisfied, I will never be happy in a Swedish forest, like forever. We can think that we'll be happier somewhere else. We can think we just need that job, or we just need that holiday, or we just need those shoes. but we don't. We really, I think this really links into what Luke has been saying about just being grateful and thankful for where you're at, because God puts you where you are. And sometimes he needs you to get out of where you are, and that's good. But sometimes the last place God told you to be, whether it's in a location or in a job or in a thought or in a group of friends, that's the happiest place you'll be, like the absolute happiest place you'll be. There's sometimes when we lived in Sweden that for me still are the loneliest times of my whole life. And they were the most beautiful. Mm-hmm. Since we've been back, Luke's chased one robber and got a handbag back. And last night we had a run-in with 6 rather large men in Long Street at 2 a.m. And so we had Luke, before we went to bed, he was just praying peace over me, because I get really scared, and then I build up resilience against those things, and then something happens and comes back. Mm-hmm. and I slept so well. And I'm still so happy to be here, not in Sweden. Because I really know that this is where I must be, and I really know that this is where you guys are supposed to be. Damn it. But I don't want to say anything unnecessary, but so I should probably stop. But yeah. So the place I'm in right now, I think, is I feel I'm really motivated again to persevere for the things that God called me to, even if it was like 6 years ago. And I think sometimes I feel like I've missed out, or I didn't take things when He gave them to me. And I'm just really starting to understand that that's not how God operates. He doesn't give you a dream and then take it away if you don't do something with it straight away. And I don't know if I heard a really bad sermon once or something, but I've had that feeling for really long in my life that God gives, and if you don't use it, He'll take it away from you. And I'm just, thanks guys, I'm just starting to understand that. That's not how He operates. So your dreams that He gave you are still adequate. And actually, the reason I'm not sharing the other thing I want to share with you tonight is because some of those dreams are still brewing in a lot of us. But I do urge us to talk about them, because I might not be passionate about parks necessarily, but one of you might have like this amazing uncle who makes parks, and we should really connect. So, yeah. I think I'm really happy to be back here with all of you guys, just so you know that. And I'm really happy that Sweden is this beautiful place that I'm so grateful to be able to call another home. But I really long for all of you to grab hold of the fact that this is where you're supposed to be. And if this is where you're supposed to be, then you might as well make a real go of it. Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks to these guys. You guys all did very well. Yeah. Good preachers. Gaz is back here. Gaz is mentoring well. Thanks, Jen. We expect tears, don't worry. From you, it's a gift. It's a gift. I wish I could cry more.
Yeah, it's quite nice, actually.
I know. I long for more tears. I thought I would just fill in my last briefly. Also, what I've been learning this week, and I'm going to keep it just as short as these guys did, even shorter. What I really have enjoyed about God this week, because you guys kind of get to hear what I think every week or two. When you realize that you are good, you start to be able to identify good in other people. And so when you start smiling at yourself because you know you're good, you're a good thing. It becomes there's quite a buzz, there's quite a freedom on seeing the good in other people, even if it's not fully good, because you know, like we know ourselves that there's only a measure of goodness in us that we, like Josh talking about limitations, so far that we've allowed ourselves to go that way. You know, so you're able to start to appreciate people on their where they're at, and the goodness that there is there in their life, and so I just kind of see us being friends with the craziest people. And I was saying last week about being friends with us is like being friends with God. And I see us being friends with more and more crazy people because we're able to see good in them. Affirming truth wherever you see it. Affirming goodness wherever we see it. And then I wanted to say that Yeah, we must start, I think it's the Anglicans that say, you know, when they say God is good, and you all say. So I think we should start that in this church, because it's very profound. So, God is good. God is good. God is so good. Oh God, you're too good.
Oh.
All the time. We're running with all the time.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. That's what you're thinking of.
That's
yeah. So God is good all the time. Okay. I don't want to hear someone say God is good and not respond, okay? We need to build it up. Let's build up a bit of hype. Yeah. Okay, so we've come to the end of the meeting. I think we should, we've got some time, we should pray together. Jess had an idea that we should pray in pairs over the Alpha people that we're going to invite and pray for. Bye, Glenn.
Bye.
Let Gaz know about Vian. What's his name? Vian or something. Yeah. Thanks, Bru. Pray in pairs, maybe, quickly. Over someone to invite, or the person that you have invited already, and that thing. How does that sound? So should we just do that with the person next to you? Stand together, find a place to be on your own. Pray. Yeah, the idea is to pray for a name if you're thinking, I don't know who to invite. And also to say, God, make it possible that the one that you have invited comes. Yeah. I've invited a lot of people. You guys can pray for them, all the ones that I've invited, that they can come.
I can just say while you're praying, guys, this week I've started getting a picture of what it's going to be like celebrating with people that just meet God for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I've been so excited at that. Like, the idea of people... Like sitting here with us next week or the garden, just wanting to know God and just being so exciting. If you imagine that, and then you imagine your friend who's not saved, you have to get out.
On the topic of prayer, thanks, Bru. If you're ever in Woodstock on a Friday morning around 6, you can come to our house if you are male. To my house. And if you're a girl, you can start going to Jen's house.
Oh my gosh, if we stop.
I didn't even come up with that idea. That was between you and Jess. So the guys, we've been doing it, and it's a lot of fun, eh? Yes. Can I maybe just give a testimony? Maybe do you want to just say, like, what you...
Yeah, this week we actually 50% attendance up. Just cut an eye for months.
Yeah.
Not months, we just...
Yeah.
Another testimony. The numbers.
So the number... I mean, the prayer meeting's growing. Sort of quite huge growth, that's... But we have a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. Eh? It's been profound, like Josh was saying.
Kel makes us a coffee that he has roasted himself the month before on the pan.
Okay.
And then we pray and sing in love.
Mm. Give standing ovations.
So just thank God for the greatest new act.
Yeah, so I want to encourage you guys. I can see how God's teaching us how to pray.
We need to
become good prayers. More prayer. It's very powerful there. Yes. Starts under this last Friday. We're having some spot profound stuff.
I had a profound experience this Friday morning when we were praying, because the Thursday night I'd gone to bed asking God for wisdom with some decisions that I had to make at work, and I really didn't feel any sort of clarity. And on Friday morning in our prayer time, I had the most like ridiculously clear time in the Holy Spirit that I've ever had. Just this most like amazing time. And God just showed me so many things and answered all of the questions that I had. Like, and they were profound because I couldn't have come up with them, and I'd been trying for like the whole week. It was on my mind, like, how should I solve these things and what should I do? And in that time together, like, God just revealed, like, gave me such grand new visions and pictures and just cleared it all up, just so clear. And he solidified it as well. It wasn't like a maybe I should do this. It was so clear. It's like, it's wonderful. Yeah.
So that's Woodstock for the men. Friday at 6. And maybe at Jen's house.
Yeah, we all send out an email. But I think that it's really wonderful.
Jen's going to become a morning person.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll have to have it in my house, but I'll be there.
On your bed.
Very cozy. I'll be in bed. He'll make some fire as he leaves for his manly dress up.
So anyone's welcome, just so you know. Any guys are welcome tomorrow. Say Friday's at 6, be there. Is it 6 or 6:30? 6:30, sorry, it's 6:30. It's not that hectic. Yeah, it's 6:30. Okay, let's pray for Alpha. Find someone to pray with.
Yeah, here's some names we don't have any. Tyrone, Dustin, Alex, Megan, Sam, Grace, Dion, Mark, Ness,